I think Mr. Knightall from the that little flock of people. Let me start with him. I've never sung the gospel before, but it does contain the gospel. Number 136. Oh, spring and source of blessing, grateful praise to thee we bring. Third verse says, brought to know thy will, beloved, drawn to him in boundless grace, thine effulgent sun and glory shining in his blessed face. So it is the gospel, isn't it? 136. Son of thy love, the one who expressed thee so perfectly.
Amen.
Here upon earth, the one who suffered and died for us upon the cross, the just for the unjust, to bring us to thee, our blessed God. And oh, we thank thee that we have been brought to thee and know thee as our Father. What a blessed thing it is to know this. We think of it, the same relationship that he had with thee. His was unique. He was the only begotten Son. We're sons by adoption. But we know that same love, our blessed God. And we would, on account of this, proclaim thy word to all, the best things that we enjoy might be enjoyed by others.
Amen.
We thank thee that the gospel is going out, and it's going out far and wide in this country and in every land. We rejoice as we hear of many turning to the Lord in different places, and we believe thou art gathering a great harvest in these days, our God. Oh, that we could see that harvest here.
Amen.
We pray for thy blessing as we continue to preach the gospel. We love to speak of thy beloved Son.
Amen.
And we shall continue to do it in thy grace. So, God help, we pray. Help to all those who preach today. Help me as I speak.
Amen.
That there may be a true and right presentation of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We pray for those who listen to, that it may be thy word in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So we ask thy blessing as we go forward, giving thanks in the precious and worthy name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Shall we sing another hymn together? Number 279. Jesus, the very thought of thee with sweetness fills the breast, but sweet and far thy face to see, and in thy presence rest. We sang this hymn last Tuesday, and as I was thinking about the gospel this evening, I thought about the words in verse 3, to those who ask, how kind thou art, how good to those who seek, but what to those who find. Ah, this nor tongue nor pen can show the love of Jesus, what it is, none but his loved ones know. We shall be speaking, God willing, about some who found the Saviour, and some who are found by the Saviour. He's doing that work in this present day. So 279. turn with me, please, to John's Gospel and chapter 1. John 1 and verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, in grace for grace, grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. And verse 29. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me comes a man who is preferred before me. For he was before me. I did not know him. But that he should be revealed to Israel, therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples. And looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, seeing them following, said to him, What do you seek? They said to him, Rabbi, which is to say, when translated teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, Come and see. They came and saw where he was staying, and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, We have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee. And he found Philip and said to him, Follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, We have found him whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, How do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said to him, Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, Most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's one of the most profound statements in the whole of Scripture.
Yes.
John had already in his Gospel written about the Word that was with God and was God, and the one through whom all things were made. And now, that very one, the Creator, had come into manhood. He became flesh and dwelt among us. John doesn't give us any more details. He knew, I'm sure, that Luke had already written his gospel, and the details are there. So he just gives us the facts. But the fact was who the person was. Yes. The Word made flesh. And not only became flesh, but he dwelt in us. I think that's wonderful, isn't it? This world, this dark and sinful world, not the world as it was when it was created. Although God loved that world he created. But Jesus came into the world, he became flesh and dwelt among us, and we, John says, I think it's an apostolic we, beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Later on in his gospel, he records Philip, who we read of later on, saying to Jesus, show us the Father, and it suffices us. And Jesus said to him, well, I've been so long time with you, Philip, and you haven't known me. He that has seen me has seen the Father. This again, what a profound statement it is. One of some priceless mysteries, says J.G. Bellow. But here it is. John tells us this is what we saw. We beheld his glory. The glory, could read, as of an only begotten of a Father, full of grace and truth. They saw God in Jesus.
Yes.
Philip might not have been able to quite apprehend that was what they'd seen, but that is what they had indeed seen. They had seen God in Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. Full of grace and truth. What a lovely expression that is, isn't it? Grace and truth. Perfect balance. You see it in his ministry. Think of that poor woman taken in adultery. The Lord said, neither do I condemn thee. What grace. Go and sin no more. What truth. Full of grace and truth. All his ways and words were full of grace and truth. And John the Baptist bore witness of him. He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. John was just a voice in the wilderness crying out, make straight the way of the Lord. The one who was before him. One who had come into manhood and dwelt among us. Of his fullness we have all received in grace upon grace. And then John, and this is John the Evangelist speaking now, the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Well, truth came through the law, didn't it? The law was holy and just and good. Moses spoke of God, a God of faithfulness, without deceit, just and right is he. How different from the gods and the idols of the people around them. God of faithfulness, without deceit. And yet, there was grace in the old dispensation. They would have been destroyed if not. But grace upon grace was something that came out when our Lord Jesus Christ came into manhood. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Interesting, isn't it? Verse 14, the Word became flesh, is the last time that John speaks of the Word in his Gospel in this way. He says that the Word became flesh, full of grace and truth. And then he says, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So he identifies one who was the Word with that blessed man, Jesus Christ, who was here upon earth, displaying God in all that he did and said. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. It's interesting to see where the expression Jesus Christ is used in the Gospels. It's used very rarely. The Lord himself, as far as I can see, only used it once. And that was when he prayed that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I believe that's the only time the Lord spoke of himself as Jesus Christ. I think you'll find that the title Jesus Christ is used in all four Gospels, but very sparingly. Nearly always references to Jesus or to the Lord. And then we have another profound statement. No one has seen God at any time. God has stood. We're told in chapter 4. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. John is setting the scene. He's looking on to that great declaration in resurrection. I send my Father and your Father, my God and your God. He was in the bosom of the Father, and the Father's love. Never changing. I think it's wonderful to contemplate in the world. I mean, we're sinful creatures. We live in a sinful world, but here was somebody in this world who was living in the bosom of the Father, and he declared him to us. So how did this work out? The next day, verse 29, John saw Jesus coming towards him and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." I'm reading from the New King James, and the word "behold" has a question, has an exclamation mark after it. Darby doesn't put an exclamation mark after it, so it could be, "Have a good look at this person." Or it could be the voice of the herald, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." We've seen him as the Word. We've seen him as Jesus Christ, the anointed man. And now we have the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God points to his sacrifice. In Revelation we see the Lamb standing as slain. Can't imagine that, can you? If a Lamb was slain, he wouldn't be standing. But that's what John saw. The Lamb of God. Through his death, he took away the sin of the world. He took it away from under the eye of God. That great, ugly mountain of sin. From Adam's disobedience onwards, he removed it forever from under God's eye. And it will be seen to be so in the coming day. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold, Paul, dear John says, contemplate this person. This is the one, he said, the man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. Read Luke, and John was older than John the Baptist is older than the Lord, but the Lord in his person was before him. And that's why John says he didn't know him. By birth he was related to the Lord, according to Luke's Gospel, but John says, "I didn't know him." There was something there that was unknowable. I didn't know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel, therefore I came baptizing with water. And so John bore witness. He saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and remained upon him. That was unique. The Holy Spirit never came upon anybody else like that. Doesn't say the Holy Spirit was sent from heaven upon him. Just says he came upon him like a dove. There was nothing sinful in him upon which the dove could not settle and remain upon him. The Holy Spirit came upon him at his baptism. And John says again, I didn't know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Yes. John's baptism with water was the baptism of repentance. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is something that we are all brought into. Took place at Pentecost, I believe, when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples. But everyone who believes is baptized with the Holy Spirit. So John says, I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. The Word, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the Son of God. We shall be speaking about that later on. But this is one day, and I think again the next day is possibly the same, later on the same day. And John stands with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked. What a great thing it is to look at Jesus as he walked. First of all, he sees Jesus coming towards him, coming to him. It was the work, that great work on the cross, which John had in mind then, when he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But now, he's looking at him. And he's looking at his person, he's looking at his manhood. He sees him walking as no other had walked. And he says, behold the Lamb of God. As those say, be occupied with this person.
Yes.
The Lamb of God. And two disciples heard him. And they followed Jesus. Yes. John wasn't jealous. John's ministry was to that people should come to know the Lord himself. But he followed Jesus and Jesus turned. If you follow Jesus, if you say to follow Jesus, he will turn. He turned to these two disciples and saw them following and said to them, what do you seek? For those who seek, how kind thou art.
Yes.
Where do you live, they said. Where do you abide? And they said, come and see. And they came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. I'd love to know what they talked about.
Yes.
10 o'clock in the morning, this was, because John uses Roman time, which is the same as ours. And so they had the whole day, pretty well the whole day before them. And they remained with him that day. You know, the gospel is preached that you might seek him and follow him and remain with him. Wonderful thing to remain with him.
Amen.
We shall be forever with the Lord in the days to come. But we can remain with him now. He remained with him that day. And one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. I suspect the other one was probably John, the evangelist himself. because he's the person who tells us about it. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he does something. He goes and finds his brother Simon and says to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. The Messiah, the anointed one. The Lord's anointed. The one they've been looking for centuries. And he said, we found him. And he brought him to Jesus. He was a good evangelist, Andrew was. He finds his brother and brings him to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him. Wonderful thing that Jesus looked at him. He looked at him. And the Lord could see something there that wasn't very apparent. He said, you're Simon, the son of Jonah, you should be called Cephas, which is translated the stone. Peter couldn't have been less like a stone, as is recorded in the Gospels. Impetuous, culminating in denying the Lord three times. Going off to fish after the resurrection. But there was something there, the work of God was in him. And the Lord said, you should be called Cephas, which is translated as stone. Later on in John's Gospel, the Lord said, will you also go away to his disciples? And Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Mm-hmm. There was the stone. Peter, a stone. And then he finds somebody else. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee. And he found Philip. We're not told anything about Philip apart from where he came from. And said to him, follow me. He didn't say it to the other two. They were already following. The Lord saw them following and said, what do you see? Now he says to Philip, follow me. And Philip finds Nathanael. We have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. That's what Philip found. To Andrew and John, who spent the day with Jesus, said, we found the Messiah. Philip, who is called to follow him, found Nathanael and said, we found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote. Here was the fulfillment of all the Old Testament. The Old Testament looks forward to Christ. The New Testament looks back to him. In his life here. We have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael's a bit, he says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip, what a lovely answer, come and see. Mm-hmm. The same thing that Jesus had said to those two, wasn't it? Come and see. Good to say that when we speak to people. Come and see. Come and see for yourself. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no deceit. That's interesting. Why did the Lord say that? I think the There's probably a reference to a coming day there. Nathanael was a representative of Israel, and Israel will be brought into blessing in the coming day.
Mm.
But now, at the present time, the gospel's going out to the whole world, far and wide. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, and he was no deceit." And Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." And Nathanael says, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel."
Mm.
So we have each one, John and Andrew found the Messiah. Philip found the one of whom Moses and the law and the prophets wrote. Nathanael said, "You are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel."
Mm.
Israel will be brought into blessing eventually. When they acknowledge him as the Son of God. And Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You see greater things than these under the fig tree." Micah speaks of everyone sitting under his vine and under his fig tree. Another reference to the coming day of Israel. The fig tree was one of the symbols of Israel, the vine, the fig, and the olive. The fig tree had a sweetness, and Nathanael was sitting under the fig tree. And the Lord says to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angel of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." I wonder what Nathanael made of that. Did his mind go back to the story of Jacob at Bethel? And he was fleeing from this brother Esau. And he had that dream of the ladder, of the angels of God ascending and descending. I don't know. There is no doubt an allusion to that. But I think it also points forward to a coming day. The day which was approaching in what we read this afternoon. The day when our Lord Jesus Christ will have his rightful place with the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man.
Mm.
Not now the Son of God, the Son of Man. The Son of Man is the one who inherits the kingdom. One that appeared in Daniel's prophecy, Son of Man, God and made strong in himself. What a beautiful chapter this is, isn't it?
Amen.
We've looked through it and we've seen so many different glories of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
He's the Word. He's the only begotten of the Father. He's the one through whom grace and truth came, Jesus Christ. He's the one who is in the bosom of the Father and has declared him to us. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's the one upon whom the Spirit could descend like a dove. He's the one whose walk was unlike any other walk. And he was attractive to others, to John, Andrew and John, to Peter, to Philip, to Nathanael. And they each have a different impression of him.
Yes.
The Messiah, the one of whom the prophets wrote, Moses and the prophets wrote, and the King of Israel, the Son of God, the King of Israel. What a glorious person he is, isn't he?
Amen.
May we be occupied with him.
Mm.
day by day, until he comes again. Amen.
Amen.
In 1:27, Lord, we do not ask the question, where abidest thou? Well, we know where thou art dwelling, well, we know it now. Hold our hearts, O Lord, we pray thee, thy and thy love, till we dwell with thee in glory, evermore above. 1:27.